Hey everybody, Arun Vanagopal with you on The Takeaway. One more story for you today. 2.7 million kids in the United States had a parent in jail or prison in 2010. That's the latest data that we have from the Pew Research Center. Two-thirds of these parents were incarcerated for nonviolent offenses. Those numbers might even be a low estimation due to underreporting. Antoine Patton was one of these parents. Patton served an 8-year sentence for having an illegal firearm, but while he was behind bars, he enrolled in a college program and he learned to code. Antoine taught his daughter, JJ, what he learned, and after his release in 2014, they launched an app. They called it PhotoPatch, which is designed to help kids send drawings or photos or even letters to their parents while they're incarcerated free of charge. And I have Antoine and JJ right here in the studio with me now. Welcome to both of you.
Hello.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us here. This is amazing.
So, Antoine, tell us, how old was JJ when you were first incarcerated?
Three years old. I was 20 years old, really active in her life, so it was really hard having to leave her.
And you were separated by some distance as well?
Yes, a lot of distance. The first state prison I went to was Elmira Correctional Facility, which was over 100 miles away from Buffalo, New York, where we're originally from.
And JJ, you were three. I mean, do you have any recollection how it felt for you when your dad was in prison?
Yeah, I was very little, so at some moments I didn't really understand. But when I finally came to realize what was happening and where he was, I just really tried to stay as positive as possible. But, like, I was never down about it. I never felt bad about it. I never, like, if someone asked me where my dad was, I was always, like, not really sad to say where he was. I always was positive about things, like when I would talk to him or write him letters, because being negative doesn't help in any way. So why not make the best out of everything in life, because that can help.
Absolutely. So you were writing letters to him, huh?
Yes. I was little and I was writing letters. Sometimes I would have hard time spelling words, but I would try my best. And I was always just really happy to write letters. Sometimes I would just try to make it as, like, loving as possible. Like, I remember one time I wrote a letter and I put on my mom's lipstick and kissed the paper so he would be able to see my kisses to him.
Oh my God. And so I'm guessing, Antoine, I mean, you must have all these letters. They must have meant a lot to you.
Yes. I still have them to this day. Mm-hmm. I won't get rid of them for anything. Anytime we up and move, I remember we had that hurricane come hit us in Florida. I was like, I'm taking these letters with me. They mean a lot to me. They inspired me every single time I got one, brightened up my day. I remember just, like, looking at the correctional officer, like, hey, where's my mail? I know my letter has to be in there. Mm-hmm. And when it wasn't, I felt it. Like, it hit me in my heart. Like, man, I didn't get it yet. So people, like, we depend on snail mail. But the process of getting stamps, getting envelopes, printing out pictures, getting it to the post office is a lot. It's kind of like a big deterrent. And it's kind of fixed into the system. It's kind of like communication isn't acknowledged. It isn't made easy. Like, nobody, they're not making it easy for us. It's kind of like they don't want us to communicate because we have to go through so many loops. In some prisons, you have to get added to the mailing list. So before you can write somebody, you have to first get approved to write someone. So imagine a 7-year-old having to get approved to write to their father or their mother in prison. Those deterrents really stop people from communicating. And that has a lot of effects, if you could think about in the long run, about the bond that these parents and children have.
So the whole time that you're just trying to stay in touch, you're figuring out life on the inside, you're also starting to take classes, huh?
Yes, that was a blessing. Literally, I got enrolled into this college program really randomly while in my correctional facility. And this college would come in, a private college, like the prison had nothing to do with it as far as funding. They would raise funds on the outside and then bring in these really esteemed professors from Cornell and Yale and Harvard and come and teach us these liberal art courses.
How did you get JJ involved in what you're doing in terms of, I mean, classes like coding? You're starting to get to be a good coder, and you start sharing that with her too, huh?
Right, yeah. JJ inspired me to code. She may not know that, but what happened was I started reading these articles in the USA Today about technology. This was in 2010, and the tech boom was happening as far as apps. Mobile apps were becoming this big thing. The iPhone had just came out a couple years before, and I'm sitting in prison. I'm like, what am I missing? Like, this seems like a great, great route opposed to what I used to do in the streets. So I'm like, sell an app for a dollar and become a billionaire, right? That's what the dream they were selling.
Yeah. Everybody.
Yes. So I'm like, this is a way more legitimate route, and this is what I want to do. But one thing you had to do was be a problem solver. The best apps are the ones that solve a really common problem or a problem that a lot of people need. And for me, I looked at my own life, and I was like, JJ's writing these letters. but it's hard for her to get them out. How can we make it easier for them to send these letters? I started thinking, like, what if there was a cool application where kids can just, like, upload a photo, type a letter, press send, and it just goes. They don't have to worry about it again. Our team will print it out, package it, and ship it to the prison. We do all of the grunt work behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the vision. That was the problem I wanted to solve. And I come to find out you need to learn how to code to do that. So I literally went and found me a book while in prison about JavaScript, mm-hmm. HTML.
Mm-hmm.
And I started teaching myself how to code. And that was my driving factor, was bridging this gap. And I was like, this may not be able to help JJ and I, but I know there's millions of families going through the same communication gap, the same connection problem. And we wanted to solve that problem. I wanted to solve the problem. And when I came home, kind of built this team of like my cousin, a friend of mine who I met in prison, and JJ.
It sounds like she was really positive during your incarceration, but also now you have this sort of team, this unit going. Where do things stand with this app, PhotoPatch?
PhotoPatch, JJ, you could talk more about like how many families we've been able to connect.
Yeah, definitely. It's been over 20,000 families.
Wow.
From like the last year of me building the app. Like, we've already helped a lot of families with the website. Like, that was even crazy. But like, once we got the app going, it was like, it reached so many more people so much quicker. And this next thing you know, we just have all these signups coming in. And it's like, people are just ready to use our app. And it was like really, really nice to be able to have that. Like, people actually really want to use this. Like, we're actually helping people. And 20,000 is a lot, but there's still millions of other kids who have a parent in prison. So it's like, we're trying to get to that level to, like, get it to them at least. Like, maybe they won't use it. Maybe they will be scared to use it. But at least if they know that they have the tool there, if they do finally, like, okay, I'm ready, I want to use this for send to my mom or dad, then now they have us as a support system to be able to do that free and easily.
So, Antoine, we're coming up on Father's Day, and as I mentioned at the top, a lot of kids across the country are separated from their parents. Wondering if you have a message for any parents who are currently incarcerated. How do you get through that?
Keep your hopes up. Keep your head up. Like JJ said, stay positive. It really is, like, that is the fundamental thing that you can do, is just believe that your family does still love you. They do still care for you. It's a crazy world we're living in, so day to day it's hard to stay in touch. But people do care. And if you don't have the family, just know that there are people, advocates out here, so many organizations who are on a day-to-day fighting for you, fighting for free phone calls, fighting for cheaper communication, fighting for closing these for-profit prisons and bringing you closer to home and having these alternatives to prisons. There are people out here fighting, like, every single, we go to conferences and we go to meetups. Like, it's amazing how many people are really, really trying to affect prison reform. So I just want people to know that. And we're out here as well. Like, we're going to keep on using our experience, using our voice to make change.
And JJ, what is your Father's Day message to your dad, who's now sitting 6 feet away from you?
I love you.
Thank you.
That's all I can really say. It's so much to say, but he's amazing. So children should know either way, they have a parent there to support them no matter what. If they're far away from them, their parent is still thinking about them at this moment. It's hard to know, but that's what PhotoPatch is trying to help with, help these children know that their parents are thinking about them and want to be with them every second of the day.
Antoine Patton is the executive director of PhotoPatch, and his daughter JJ is the junior director. Thank you to both of you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Exactly. We appreciate you.
And you can find a link to Antoine's app at thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.